to the book of 1 Corinthians, the epistle of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And when you get there, please go down to verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 19. If you need a Bible, just lift up your hand. We'll make sure that you will get a Bible so that we can, our youth typers, amen and hallelujah. Y'all might just pick y'all a Bible up every Sunday when y'all come. Just go pick you one up when y'all come into the house. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You're at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Amen. Beginning at verse 19. Again, what it is a joy to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to continue in this series of messages that we started about, this will be the third week here, the third installment in here. We've been talking about soul winners. Somebody say soul winners. And we've all have been called to be soul winners. Matter of fact, Proverbs 11 and 30 says this, the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Hallelujah. He that winneth souls is wise. So it also tells us that it takes wisdom to win souls. And so this is what we're dealing with and that we've been talking about, because one of the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart going out of last year, coming into this year, that it's about souls. It's about those that are away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is why we do what we do. See, this is why we are saved. We're saved so that we can share this good news, the gospel, with someone else. And just by way of passing review, for those that have not been with us, this is the third message in here. The first message was we talked about the business of winning souls, or the business of soul winning. And we said that was catching men. That was catching men, that how he led them, he took them, that how they would be catchers of men, or fishermen of men is another way of saying that. But we also understood that before they could catch other men, they had to be what? Caught themselves. And so if I'm going to catch somebody else first, I got to be caught. And so Jesus Christ caught them, and we told you that he took them to the deep. And he showed them what they were dependent upon. And then he showed them that he was their deliverer. Oh, my God. I mean, he is good, isn't he? And he does that with our lives. And so wherever you're at in your walk with him, if you don't know him, and if you do know him, he's going to take you to the deep. He's going to take you to the deep, and then he's going to show you what your dependency is, and then he's going to show you that he is your deliverer. And we looked at that not only with the disciples, we looked at the woman at the well, and so many people, anybody that Jesus, that he encountered in their lives, he always wanted to take them to the deep. The rich young ruler, he took the rich young ruler to the deep. He said, the rich young ruler said, good master, what must I do to be saved? He said, look, there's none good but God. Amen. Don't call me good. But he said, just in case you're talking about it, he says, you got to keep the commandment. You'll keep the what? He says, well, I kept them since I was young. And he started naming them off. And then he told him, he says, but yet you lack one thing. He says, go sell what you have. Give to the poor. Amen. So that you have riches in heaven, and come follow me. And the Bible says he went away what? Sorrowful. See, he took him to the deep. He showed him what he was dependent upon, which was what? Money. Amen. Money wasn't a problem. He was the problem. He had the wrong attitude about money. So he dealt with him. And then he said, look, he said, now go sell all of that. Give to the poor and you'll have riches in heaven, and come follow me. The Bible says again, he went away. How? Sorrowful. See, what I'm saying unto you, that when we have this encounter, see, in order to be a soul winner, your soul got to be won. it must be won. And Jesus is the one that wins our souls. And once he wins our souls, he causes us to be a soul winner. No matter what you were doing prior to meeting Jesus, Jesus said, now, I done caught you. Now, I want to make you a fisherman of men. Amen. And so this should be a part of our DNA. This year, our mantra, that we're talking about in 2014 is what? Leaning on Jesus. And the Bible says John wrote that he was the beloved that leaned on Jesus. Amen. And so it is my desire that the church of the living God, that the people of God, that we all be like John, that lean on Jesus.
And we said that this was not a perversion. It was a place and a position that he had with Jesus because he loved him. Amen. He was the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, Jesus didn't say that. John said that. Amen. We want to get to a place in our walk with Christ that I can say, I'm a disciple that what? Jesus loved. That'll be my confession. Not somebody else's confession, but I can say that. And then John always talked about himself as being the other disciple or another disciple. He always talked about himself in that particular way. So that was the first message. It was the business of soul winning. The second message on last week was the burden of soul winning. Somebody say the burden of soul winning. See, so if the business of soul winning is catching, the burden of soul winning is preaching, amen, preaching the gospel. And we learned that the gospel is what? The good news. And so when we have a burden, if you look with me in the very text of where we're at right now, I'm not going to just steal and pass for you. Verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, it says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. We talked about that word last week, necessity. He said it is necessary. He said, I don't preach this gospel to be recognized or whatever. He says, but necessity has been laid upon me. What he's saying, it's necessary that I preach the gospel. It don't have anything to do about what I want to do or when I want to do it, but it's necessity has been laid upon me. We gave examples of last week that how we could look at this in the natural through parenting and through leadership. Say the men that are in the house of the Lord, say you, as far as authority is concerned, particularly domestic authority, it goes God, it goes Jesus, it goes man, woman, children, amen. So man, you are the leadership, the leader of your home. And you might say, well, I didn't have an example of being a leader. See, you must understand necessity was laid upon you. You know what I'm saying? It was necessary for you to be the leader because that's how God set up order. You know what I'm saying? That's just how he set the order up. You might say, I ain't got it, I ain't want to do it, or whatever you may say, but you got to understand necessity has been laid upon you. You got to do it even if you don't want to do it. You know what I'm saying? And this is what Paul was saying about the burden for soul winning. He says, I don't do this to receive glory or any of that. He says, but necessity has been laid upon me. It is necessary that I tell somebody about Jesus. Why? Because the same one that caught me need to catch you. Amen. Hallelujah. So Paul, and we know Paul's life was one of those. He got knocked off his high horse going on to Damascus, did he not? And Jesus took him to the deep. Amen. He said, why are you kicking against the pricks? He said, why are you kicking against the established order of God? Here you are trying to take Christians and imprison them and even witness to the murder of Stephen. He said, look at what you're all inviting. So he met him on that road of Damascus and had an encounter with him, and he took him deep. Amen. Yes, sir. He showed him what that he had the wrong burden in his life. He had a burden, but it was a burden that was perverted. Amen. He was attacking the house of God versus he was going to win the men and women to God. And we know that God changed his life. Now, one of the things that we have established in this, if you're going to go to be a soul winner, this is the business of soul winner. I'm backing up. If you're going to go, you got to go. You got to go with power, and you got to go to deliver. Because he sent them. He said, now go wait. He breathed upon them, said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So when we go, we don't go in our own power. He said, now you go over to Jerusalem and wait on the Father, the promise of the Father, and he will send unto you the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know, they waited and it came. Amen. It filled the house and it filled every one of them as fire. Amen. That was upon every tongue. And they began to speak in a new language or whatever. And so we see this type of thing that when we go, we got to go in power and we go to do what? Deliver. So God is calling us to be soul winners, that we got to have not only a burden for soul winning, but we got to understand the business of soul winning. The burden, again, is preaching the gospel. This was a burden that Paul had. Jesus had this burden. He says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is a burden, and necessity is laid up on all of us, amen, that are saved, that we got to tell somebody about the good news. See, you know, in the world, when you get some stuff that's going to be profitable to you, you kind of hold it to yourself. But when it comes to the gospel, you can't hold it to yourself. I'll give you a good example. I was talking to a young man, and I thank God because what I'm seeing, there are people are reaching out. And we've seen even through our website that young men have been reaching out. Men, young men, 24, 32, 35, three young men over the last 3 weeks have reached out and say, Pastor, I need godly men in my life. I need somebody to accountability. I need some men that I can meet with. And so that tells you that there's a moaning and a groaning from men, from young men, amen, that say they need some accountability. They need a godly person in their lives. And so I was speaking to a young man on yesterday evening, the day before yesterday, and as I was talking to him, I'm telling you what, man, the word of God, the spirit of God come up on me, George. Out of the belly will flow the rivers of living water. Man, I'm telling you what, man, I just started ministering and encouraging this young man, and he was being encouraged, but I encouraged myself in the midst of him. So what you're saying, Pastor, what I'm saying is, see, you got to understand there is some benefit out of sharing the gospel. When you share that good news with someone else, not only does it benefit them, but it benefits you. I've learned, see, it's for my good, it's for their gain, it's for God's glory. You hear what I'm saying? But there's some good, and I'm going to deal with that next week about the benefit of preaching the gospel. But today, we want to deal with another particular installment in here as the Lord would take us further. Look at verse 16 through 18. This is where we were at last week. I'm just going to read it, and then we're going to go into verse 19 so we can have some understanding. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You know what he said? He said, man, woe unto me. He said, man, I got to preach this thing. This is the burden. That's the burden of soul winning. Then he said, Paul said, I got to preach. He says, woe unto me if I do not preach this gospel. Then he goes on to say, verse 17, he says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. He says, what is my reward then? So we dealt with this last week. He said, now, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if it's against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What he's saying is, even if I determine, mother, not to do it, even a dispensation that's already been given unto me to do it, I have no other choice but to do it. I mean, there's no if, ands, but if I am saved, if I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, a dispensation of the gospel has been committed unto me, and I got to go tell somebody about the goodness of him. Look at verse 19. He says, verse 18, he says, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not the power in the gospel. Now, we're going to pick up here, and today we're going to deal with the behavior. Somebody say the behavior of soul winners. We've dealt with the business, we've dealt with the burden, now we're going to deal with the behavior of soul winners, because we must understand what is our DNA, amen? We understand the business of it, we understand the burden of it, but we must understand also now, as the Lord has given this unto me, the behavior. He says, for though I be free, hallelujah, he says, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. You hear that? Down verse 20, we're going to read through verse 22. He says, and unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I what might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I what as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might what by all means what save some. So let's take a look here at verse 19, because this is where we're going to get the title of what we're talking about today. Verse 19 says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I yet made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Today I want to speak from the subject of to gain more. Somebody say to gain more. See, I want you to understand that that we're dealing with here, that the behavior of soul winning is to gain more. I'm here to tell you, man, it's to gain more. See, it's different than the business. The business is to catch men, but here the behavior is to catch more men. Amen. It's to gain more. That must be my mindset, that we want more to come to Jesus. We want to gain the more. And we see here that Paul lays down what it takes to be someone that has the attitude of gratitude, an attitude that understands that necessity has been laid up upon you, that you just got to preach this gospel. You just got to tell somebody about the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it says the word of God was like fire set up in my bones. You know what I'm saying? When this word gets on the inside of you, you can't help but the what for it to get out of you. I always tell you about the parable of the seed, right? See, it got to get what? In. And then once it get in, it got to get what? Down. So it can do what? Come what? Up. Amen. So it got to get in, it got to get down, and then it got to come up. Amen. And this is what happens when we preach the gospel unto people. See, many times we may just be the person that's planting the seed. This is how there was an argument going on in the I think Book of Acts talks about this and how they were fussing and fighting who baptized who. And then Paul said, well, why y'all all getting caught up in who baptized who? He says, none of us are anything. None of us are anything. He said, now, you must understand this. One of us going to plant. Amen. Amen. Somebody else going to water. But what? God going to get the glory. So soul winning ain't about how many notches you can get on your belt. Oh, my God. Don't get me wrong. He says, but those that win souls are wise. Amen. It's wise to be a person that desires to win souls, to tell somebody about the good news. Now, I found out if it's not good news to me, it ain't going to be good news to them. Oh, my God. Now, I want you to understand the good news is good news, whether you want it to be good news or not. I'm talking about, yeah, it's good. He came, he died, and he rose again just for me and also for you. Now, whether you want that to be good news, that's up to you. But it was good news to me, amen, because he saved me from a sinful situation and circumstance and a sinful lifestyle. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. So all of us are sinners, amen, and we need somebody to separate from us. From our sin, and all of us, until we get separated, we're lost and bound in our sins. Amen. But I thank God for Jesus Christ. He says, for the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. Amen. And he anointed me. Amen. To heal the brokenhearted. I mean, he anointed to set the captives free. And that same anointing, that same spirit that was up on Jesus Christ is the same anointing and the same spirit that be up on us when we go share the gospel, the good news with someone else. Amen. But it got to be good to you before it could be good to someone else. Do you know people can talk people into stuff simply because of the excitement that they have about it? Oh, y'all probably done got involved in something that you know was not good for you, but somebody done come over into your house, you done let them in the door, you done met with them, and that thing sounds so good. You know what I'm saying? Your situation was down, you needed a little bit more green, whatever it was, but they talked you into it. Why? Number one, they were excited about their own product, amen? I'm not buying anything that nobody else ain't excited about. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing with the good news of the gospel. Amen. They got to know that you've been called. Amen. See, and they ain't looking for you. They need to be seeing the Jesus that's on the inside of you. Now here go the thing. Now, are we going to get to the scripture here? Now we're going to let the Holy Ghost roll here. Now we know, and I've said this before, but it bears repeating. When they were up there in the upper room, the Bible says that they received power. And that word power is what? Dunamis. Amen? It's dunamis power. And that's where we get the word mother dynamite. See, but this is where the confusion comes sometimes. He don't come to blow you up. He come to blow Jesus up on the inside of you. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Holy Spirit comes to do. That's why they were waiting for the power. The power ain't to blow you up and make you to be the shining star. Nah, he is the bright and morning star. Nah, it comes to blow Jesus up on the inside of you so that when people see you, they see the marvelous light. They see Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so now when they see the light up on you, you can't talk about you. You got to talk about the light that's lighting you up. Oh, my God. And I've learned that I can get a whole lot more excited talking about Jesus than I can about myself, because I run out real soon talking about all my goodness. But his goodness is to everlasting. His mercy endures forever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, from everlasting to he is good. He is loving kindness unto me. He's merciful unto me. Oh, y'all need to hear this. He is merciful. He's merciful unto us. And because he is, we should be excited about him and being excited about telling him about someone. I love him so much because when I want to do wrong, when something on the inside of me is telling me to do right. You know what I'm saying? And it's called, it ain't my flesh. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. And so I must stay connected to the Spirit of God. And so that it blows up Jesus that's on the inside of me. So when I go to win souls, I'm telling people about Jesus. The same Jesus that set me free. The same Jesus, he says, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. They say, take my yoke upon you. Because if we don't, what we are doing, we have the yoke of bondage, a yoke of slavery that is upon us. And not only upon us, but those that are out there in the world. So let's look at this today. We're talking about the behavior of soul winning. Somebody say to gain more. It's to gain more. It is to gain more. Now let's look here at verse 19. He says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. There's two or three things here that the Lord wants to bring to our attention by way of the Holy Spirit. The first thing here I want you to see in verse 19, see, to gain more souls, you must be free. How are you going to help somebody else be free if you ain't free? You know what I'm saying? Now look what Paul said. Paul says, for though I be free from what all men, oh my God. He ain't just talking about things, he's talking about men too. Amen. Oh my God. Mankind. He says, I'm free from all mankind. See, this word free, it means to be unrestrained or exempt from obligation or liability. What he's saying is, I don't owe anything. This is how John said. John says, owe nothing to no man, amen, except what the continuing debt of love. You know what I'm saying? He said, now, you don't owe man anything but what the continuing debt of love. What does the world need? They need love, amen. The Bible says love covers what? A multitude of sin. Amen. It's the love of God that draws people unto him by way of his Spirit. So people need to have love. Now Paul is sitting here saying, because I'm saying to gain more souls, you must be free. Free from what, Pastor? No longer burdened with the yoke of slavery. No longer burdened with the yoke, amen, that the world has on you. And Jesus Christ is the one to come to set you free. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Any man comes to the Father must come what through me. Amen. And he says, I am the truth. And what? The truth to what? Set you free. And so the truth of the word of God is what comes into our lives to set us free. Set us free from what, Pastor? From everything that's got a hold of you. Amen. Not only what you got a hold of, but what got hold of you. Amen. I mean, the word comes to set you free. This is how the Bible says the word of God is Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is what? Quick. That means what? Alive. It's quick. Amen. The word is quick. And alive. It's alive. It's what? Sharper than what? Any two-edged sword, piercing even what? To the dividing as under of what? Soul, spirit, and what? Joint and marrow. I always say he come to take you apart to do what? Take you apart. That's what he does. That's what the word does. And it puts you back together again. Amen. That's what the word will do. But you got to let the word do. I said this last week. It says that when they left him, he says, did not our hearts burn when he what? Opened up the scriptures unto us. And so when the scriptures are opened up unto us, our heart will begin, even when we open up the scriptures, our heart will burn. Just get in this word for a minute. It don't take nothing but a minute, amen. Just get into that word and read it. Your heart will start burning. You'll start getting excited about this thing. And you have to tell somebody. I say, Lord, fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Fill it till I can't take anymore. See, this is where your ministry is at. I know, Pastor, you mean, I got to study to win something. No, you don't. Just get in the word. And when you get in the word, he'll fill your cup. He'll fill it up till it overflows. You go off into work with overflow. You know what I'm saying? You got so much word upon you, it's a setup. You know what I'm saying? Soon somebody asks you something, it's coming out. It got to come out. Because it done got in, it done got down. It got to what? It got to come out. It's going to come out on somebody. Now let me give you the other side of it. It's just like gossip. If it get in and it get down, it gonna come out. I don't care who you say. I ain't telling nobody about that. You might tell a family member, anybody. I'm gonna tell you something, but don't you tell. I ain't supposed to tell nobody this. Amen. It got in and it got down. It get down, baby. It's gonna come out. So this is what you do with gossip. Let it come in and let it go right on out. Don't you let that thing get down. If it get down, baby, I don't know. This is the way Jesus told those disciples. He says, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. If you take that thought and you meditate on that thought, you're going to say it. He says, take no thought saying what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, or what I'm going to put on. Your heavenly Father knows what you have, and he wants to, it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. But he said, you got to take no thought now. He said, but if you're going to take it, he said, look, seek ye forth what? The things of God, amen, and all those things will be added unto you, amen. So we got to watch over our thought life here. But the idea of it here, he says, I'm free. This is what Paul said, I'm free unto all men. So if you're going to be able to preach this gospel, if you're going to have the behavior of soul winning, one of the behaviors is you got to understand that you're free. And that you didn't make yourself free. It is he that come to set you free. He made you free. But you got to be free. There got to be some freedom in you. You got to be free from all men. What you saying, Pastor? You heard me say this many times. He said, now this gospel, what this gospel will do with you, it's going to identify you with some folks and it's going to separate you from some folks. Amen. And this is how you got to be bold in this thing. Because one of the things we're going to get to, one of the other points is, you if you're going to be win more souls, you cannot be ashamed of the gospel. Amen. For it is the power, amen, of salvation unto Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm getting there. I'm already ahead of myself. But you're going to see that in the scriptures. But we can't be ashamed of this thing. But first and foremost is we got to know that we're free. I'm already free. I don't care what the enemy trying to bring back on me, what he trying to say about me. When he said, you ain't perfect, you ain't got, nah, I serve the perfect one. And if I get wrapped up in anything, I know how to lay aside every weight, every sin. That's so what? Easily entangles me, amen. I know how to do that. And then I run my race with patience that has been marked out for me. What you saying, Pastor? You got to know how to recover yourself. Because self will get you in trouble every time. And you got to know how to recover yourself. And this is why I said, if you would confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and do what? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, most of us done something wrong yesterday. And if you live long enough today, you'll do something wrong. But you got to understand that we're not up under that cloak of bondage. We thank God for the grace of God, but the grace doesn't allow us to do what we want to do. The grace of God, look, this is what I understand about the grace. The grace of God affords me the opportunity to get back. Oh my God, you know what I'm saying? Not to get away, but to get back. Amen. That's what grace does for me. It gives me the opportunity to get back to God, not to get away with something. I'm not trying to get away with anything. Amen. Because your sins will find you out. Everything in the dark will come to the light. Amen. Look, I'd rather bring it to the light before it come to the light. Oh my God. I feel this thing this morning. Yeah, you bring that. That's what grace does. Grace allows you to bring it to the light before the light shows up on it, man. That's what grace does. It makes space for me that I can come back to a living God. Because if I didn't have his grace, that grace is the ability, the power, and the equipment. Amen. I ain't got, see, sin will take your power away. You ain't even got power to get back. But grace is the power, the equipment, the ability of God for you to get back. Oh, my God. Has anybody ever had to get back in your life? Oh, my God. I know I have. I ain't talking about 10 years ago. I'm talking about, I had to get back. I had to get back. Well, you live this life in this world right here. You got to know how to get back. And so Paul said, I'm free. I'm free from all men. There's nothing that men can do unto me. Amen. Because I know now when I sin against God and God alone. And look, and so I need to get right with God as soon as possible because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This is why Jesus Christ says, come sit at my feet and what? Learn of me because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you got to be free. And he says, I'm free of all men. And so if we're going to go and our behavior in this thing, if we're going to win souls, if we're going to gain more souls, because we're talking about to gain more, to gain more. So if I'm going to gain more souls, I must be free. Amen. No longer up under the burden of the yoke of slavery of this world. Amen. I got to be free. I got to continue to declare that in my life. I got to have my confession of faith. Amen. Because the enemy will want to tell you that you're not free. You're not free. He hadn't delivered you. He hadn't set you free because of all those things. See, you're free, but there's a lot of stuff that's still trying to attach itself unto us. But I'm telling you, man, God, he going to cut it all off. You got to give it to him. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I mean, we must understand. That's what's separating us from our God. And we got to give it to God and allow him to take it away in our lives. The second thing we hear, are you in verse 19 still? It says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant. Somebody said, yet have I made myself servant. See, to gain more souls, you got to become a servant of all. You got to become a servant of all. Now, what's interesting in this verse 9, he says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. He says, now I'm free. I'm not obligated. I don't owe anybody anything but the continuing debt of love. I understand that. But he says, but you know what? He says, but I'm going to make myself a servant unto all. Win more souls, that we got to make sure that we make ourselves a servant unto all. A servant unto all. I want to gain the more, but how I gain the more is to make myself a servant. This word servant is an interesting word. It's the word doulos or doulu. It means to be given or to become a servant. So what he's saying is I'm making myself a servant. He says, I'm a free man. I don't owe anything to any man. He says, but I'm going to make myself a servant unto all that I what may gain the more. And so not only must I be free, but I must also freely give my life unto other people to be a servant of them. Amen. And see, this is the way Jesus Christ said it. Turn with me. Hold your place here. We're coming back. Turn with me to the gospel according to St. Matthew. Matthew's gospel, chapter 20. I want you to go over there and look at this. And Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. Matthew 20. Verse 26. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 26. Are you in the neighborhood? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read verses 26 through 28 here. It says, I'm going to read from the King James. He says, but it shall not be so among you. And he's talking about they're fussing about who got authority or dominion here. He says, but who should sit on my right hand and my left? This was the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Amen. The sons of thunder. I'm not even going to go there. But mama said, can one sit on the right and one sit on the left? And Jesus said, that's not mine to call. That's not, I don't make that decision. I made it to the Father. Then he asked him, he said, can y'all handle the cup? You know, can y'all deal with the cup? Can you drink from this cup? You know, the cup was the cup of suffering. I mean, can y'all go through what I go through? Yeah. I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father. Above them boy said, yeah, we can go through what you want to do. But think about these brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and the mama saying, can you sit to the right and left? Now, you know, these are the same two that when Jesus got through with Peter taking him out to the deep and he called to his partners because the ship was over full, that was James and John. Because when they got back, he said not only did Peter go with him, the Bible says in another a gospel of the same story, it says that James and John, they left their nets and left their daddy. You hear what I'm saying? They left Zebedee and they immediately followed Jesus. Because Jesus Christ said, if any man is going to what? Come after me. Let him do what? Deny himself. What? Pick up his cross. How often? Daily. And what? Come after me. Amen. We call that a denying. Amen. A crucifying. And what? A magnifying. First, you got to deny yourself, and then you got to crucify yourself. After you deny yourself, then you're ready to die. You can't die until you what? Deny yourself. So you got, if any man gonna come after me, let him what? Deny himself. What he's saying is denying yourself is the beginning of dying. So, but you got to deny. Say, you know, I use myself. Now, I want to get back in my suits. You know what I'm saying? Got a few extra pounds that I'm carrying around. It's all because I won't what? Deny myself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I like those Subway cookies. 3 for $1.50. You know what I'm saying? Or I can go over to Jimmy John and get the chunk. Amen. 1 for $1.50. You know what I'm saying? I know my cookies now. I love my cookies. And then when I'm big time, I go to Chick-fil-A. Woo, Lord. They warm. You hear what I'm saying? Them warm cookies. I don't get them. I get them by the half a dozen. You know what I'm saying? Nah. But you hear what I'm saying? So if I want to lose some weight, I got to what? Deny myself. And the minute I deny, see, I got to, if I deny myself, sooner or later that thing I want to do is going to what? Die. The desire is going to die. Because see, he said it's the lust of the flesh. It ain't a sin. See, you know what I'm saying? He said, now lay aside every what? Weight and sin. See, it ain't a sin, but it's become a weight. You know, you might have to have that coffee every morning. You know what I'm saying? First thing you do, I got to just get me going. See, but you can have that coffee and still ain't spent no time with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. And so all of a sudden now, this coffee can become a weight. I'm not trying to get everybody up under any type of bondage. Working out. I like working out when I can get to working out. Amen. But once I get in that rhythm of working out, I can't work out more than I get into the Word. And the Holy Ghost, he convicts me every time. Boy, you're losing that weight. You're looking good. You're running. You're lean, mean, fighting machine. But you ain't in that Word like you running. See, it's a balance. Amen. You got to keep him first. And I found out when I get in that, if I got some word in me and I'm running, mother, oh God, I mean, I'm telling you what, I'm just hearing from the Lord, amen. But I got to get something in me before I start doing it, amen. And so we're sitting here talking about this weight here, about these things. He says, if any man will come after me, let him do what? This ain't even part of the message. I don't know why we're here, but somebody need to be here, amen. He said, now, if any man's going to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Now, this is from the first message, because when he catch me, he done caught me, amen. So if I'm going to catch a man, see, he caught me first, now I'm going to catch men for him. But he got to catch me. And his qualifications of me being caught is not how I define it, it's how he defined it. And the way he defined it, if any man will what? Come after me, let him what? Deny himself. And then he said, now, once you deny yourself, that's a denying. You're cutting it off, and it's going to die. But then he said, once you deny yourself, then he said, pick up your cross. That's a what? Crucifying. Because when you get a cross, you got to go to the hill. You got to go to Golgotha. That's where he went with his cross. You got to go the same place he went with his cross is the same place you got to go. And he took his cross. He went to die. And so when you bear your cross, you got to go to die. See, but the only way you won't be able to die unless you've already denied yourself. So I deny myself. I pick up my cross. How often? No, don't leave that out. Not once a month, once a year. But I got to pick up my cross what? Daily. And what? Follow after him. And I'm telling you, man, when we can just get that down, I got to die to myself in order to follow after him. That'll help you to understand the only person that's keeping you from him is yourself. Stop blaming everybody else. Stop blaming your wife. Girl, if you would just get it right, if you just cook right, if you just do this right, if you just sucky, if you do this, that for me, and everything will be all right. Man, you look, the devil is a liar. You hear what I'm saying? We got to move everybody else out of the equation. And the only thing that holds us back from following him is me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. I'm the one standing in the need of prayer. Oh my God. That helped somebody right there. It sure have helped me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see here, we'll leave James and John. I don't know why we got over here in this. I know I had to go here, but let's go on down to verse. Let's get down where we need to be. Verse 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 20. I just get excited about this word. You know what I'm saying? So somebody got to hear it, amen? 20 verse 26, it says, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That word minister here is the word servant. That's what, if you study it out, if you got another translation, it'll be servant. It says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant as well. You hear that? Even as the Son of Man came not to be what? Ministered unto, but to what? Minister, and to give his life a ransom for many here. And so you see, you go back to the text. This gives us understanding here. He said, Jesus Christ said, now the one that would be the chief among you would be the one that would be the servant. In God's kingdom, it's opposite, you know. He said the chief is going to be the servant of all. And so it's just in a natural way. If you're on a job and you're the supervisor, and you've been, necessity has been laid up upon you to be the supervisor, amen. Say you're a parent to the child, you know what I'm saying? See, many times we get this thing backwards, that them kids were born to serve me. Go get this, go get that, go get that. I remember my dad used to send me to the store, get him a pack of cigarettes. And he said, I give you a quarter for whoever be the quickest one to get back. Cigarettes want nothing but a quarter. So we take that dollar, amen. And he said, whoever get back the fastest, amen. Me and my brother will run all the way to the store. Who going to be the first one in there to get them cigarettes, amen? Because we're going to get a quarter in return. See, that wasn't the way it's supposed to work. You know what I'm saying? We're not to be slaves. Our kids and stuff are not to be slaves. He said, now if we're chief amongst that, you hear what I'm saying? We're to be a servant unto all. What you mean? We're to serve our children. Because we're teaching them how to serve other people. If you treat them like a slave, they're going to treat everybody like a slave. Because that's what they're going to be looking for. I'm looking for me a slave. As soon as I get old enough, I'm trying to find me a slave. It's called abuse. That's what it's called. It's called, and abuse is abnormal use. It won't meant to be that way. You just perverted it, the ways of God, and now it's abnormal and it's abuse. Amen. And when you abuse somebody, guess what they do? They abuse somebody. Hurting people do what? Hurt other people. That's the way it goes here. So Jesus Christ is saying here in the gospel there, he's saying, now if you're going to be chief amongst all, you'll be a servant unto all. If you're going to be the chief, you got to be the servant. So if you're going to be if you're designed to be the supervisor, the director, the manager, all of that, there's something that comes with it. What comes with it? You're to serve. It's just like me as a pastor of this house. I'm to serve. Pastor, we need some more batteries. We're going to go get the batteries. We need some more water. We're going to go get, we serve. See, we serve so that you will serve. So if we serve our leaders, we expect our leaders to do what? Be serving other people. Amen. And that's how it works. We're servant to all. And when you have someone that does not have the ability to serve, they are disturbed. Amen. Something's wrong on the inside of them, particularly if they're a child of the King. Amen. And so when we are children of the King, we should have servants' hearts. So Paul is saying that I not only am a free man, but he says, I've made myself a servant to all that I might gain the more. Gain the more what? Gain the more souls. He wants to gain souls. And so we must be servants. If we're going to be ministers, Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to be ministered to. I came to minister. I came to be a servant unto others. And this is how we're going to win people to Christ. It's not that we want them to be drawn to us. No, it's through the spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that is within us that we're going to serve them. And we're going to be unto them what we need to be, amen, that we might what? Gain the more. That we might win some is the way he says this thing here. I want to read out of Romans. Just hold your place. I want to read Romans chapter 1 verses. Matter of fact, if you back over to this Romans in the neighborhood. Go to Romans, please. Romans chapter 1 while we're in the neighborhood. Romans chapter 1. I want you to see this for yourself. Romans chapter 1 verse 14. We were here in the first message on the second message in this series. Romans 1 verse 14. And you'll see here Paul is writing to the church at Rome here. He's writing from the city of Corinth, though, and he's writing this unto the people, to the church at Rome. Are you at Romans chapter 1? When you get there, please go, instead of verse 14, go up to verse 11. He says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have somewhat fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So you see, this is the burden of soul winning. Trying to get to them. He wants to get to them to impart a spiritual gift unto them that they may be established. Amen. And see, this is what we're trying to get into people. We're trying to get the good news, the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that they can have the foundation of Christ, so that they can begin to be established in their life. See, most folks, if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have Christ in your life, you don't have no rock. You don't have no foundation. The Bible says that, look, it's going to rain upon the just and the unjust. Amen. The winds are going to blow. Amen. The storms are going to come. All of this is going to happen. But he that built his house upon the rock. Amen. He says one was a wise man and the other was a foolish man. And so when we go out, he says that he that winneth souls is what? Wise. And us that are wise. Amen. We build our lives upon the rock. And he is the rock. Amen. Jesus Christ. And so this is what we do when we go out. We're trying to impart a spiritual gift unto the people that they may be what? Established. That they may be grounded and rooted in him. This is what soul winning is all about. Not in me, but in him. Because if you call me too late, I'm going to be asleep. You know what I'm saying? But the Bible says God never what? Sleeps, neither do he slumber. Yeah, he not dull of hearing. Amen. His arm is not too short. Amen. I'm telling you, you can have someone you can call on. He'll never leave you nor forsake. The preacher might leave you. He might forsake you. You know what I'm saying? Your brother and your sister might do that as well. Amen. Blood brother, church member, whatever you want to name it. But I'm here to tell you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And this is the same establishment that they need to have out there when we're talking about soul winning. Look what he says in verse 14 here. He says, I am a debtor. You see that? He says, I am a debtor. He says, I owe. Now, listen, he says, now I'm free of all men. He says, I'm free. But see, but this gospel that has set him free has made him in debt to other people. What you saying? He said, now the God that set me free, when I see somebody else in bondage, I'm in debt to them. Why? Because God freely gave unto me. What was freely given unto me, I got to freely get and give to someone else so they can be set free. This is what it's all about. It's about me and the same God that set me free. They're going to be set free. So if I see somebody that's lost like a goose in a hailstorm, you know what I'm saying? Necessity has been laid up upon me. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. If I don't tell them about the goodness of God. Now they might reject me or whatever, but look, I'm going to be the one to tell them. I lay it out there because all I got to understand, look, they ain't rejecting me. They're rejecting the God on the inside of me. Amen. And not only that, I know that I'm planting a seed. Somebody else is going to come with water and God going to eventually get the increase. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I was tangled all up in the Masonic order and all that stuff, that craziness. Amen. I know, oh God, why he going down that road? All right. I got all tangled up in that mess. And I'm telling you, and I remember I was overseas in Germany in the military. And my uncle was one, you know, and I felt like I needed to be one of those to progress in life. You know what I'm saying? And when I'm thinking about Jesus, I'm thinking about being a Mason, you know. And so I did all of that. Got up involved in that stuff, and I got to the point where I was called the worshipful master. Ain't that? Think about that. The worshipful what? Master? How crazy is that? So here I am, the worshipful master. I got my light on. You hear these words? I got my light, my symbols on. I got my light on my car. Got a chain around my neck with the light on. Got a light on your hat with the light on. And I had someone to stop me one day and say, He says, can I ask you a question? Do you know what that means? Amen. Yeah, I know what it means. You know, I got my little rituals and stuff. And I kind of got half offended, you know what I'm saying? But whoever that was, they were bold. And the person said, well, if you want to talk about it, here go my telephone number. Give me a call. And I had two or three people approach me in that manner. And what I found out was those people that approached me, they loved the Lord, man. I knew them. You know what I'm saying? They were either in my unit or something like that. They knew me. We knew one another, and they were, hey, do you know what you're involved in? Now, it led me to go to the public library and to open up the book. I said, I got to get deeper because I don't know what they done taught me. Maybe I've been bamboozled or something. And I opened up the book, and I get into this, and I understood I was serving some paganistic god called Iris. Yeah. I start laying this stuff. I said, what in the world going on here? You know what I'm saying? And granted, I wasn't saved, didn't know the Lord or anything like that. But I remember when I came to the Lord, and Pastor Anton knows this stuff. When I came, when I gave myself to the Lord, I'm getting all this little emblems, symbols, all these, my apron and my gloves, my gavel, my top hat. I boxed all that stuff up, Brother Joy. Didn't win, got me a book that taught me how to repent, to renounce that mess. You know what I'm saying? I got up out of it and got rid of everything that I had. You know what I'm saying? Because I wanted to be a what? A free man. And Jesus Christ had came and did what? Set me free. And so now necessity has been laid up upon me. When I see somebody running with the light on, you know what I'm saying? Running with the hat on and with the stuff on their car. God, just give me a moment because I'm going to ask them the same question that was asked me. Do you know what you're involved in? You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm talking about. And so that leads to, I become all things unto all men that what? I might win some, so that I might gain the some. So I get down where they at, done been there, done it. And guess what? God will put people across your path that what? You done been there and done it. You know what I'm saying? Yes, sir. You can talk to them. You can get with them on their level. Oh, yeah, girl, I know what you're dealing with. Done been there and done it. And guess what? He delivered me from that. And if he delivered me from that, I know that he'll deliver you from that. And so God has a way of using us so that we may impart some spiritual gift unto somebody that they may be established in him. And this is what this is all about. It's about being established in him. Our young people, our youth typers that are here, amen, they're living life, they're wondering, they think it's all about them, and they understand this, but what we're trying to do, we're trying to get something established. Your mama and daddy bring you to church, they're trying to get something established in your life, because I'm telling you, it's going to rain, yes sir, it's going to flood, amen, and you ain't going to be able to protect yourself from the rain, neither from the flood. You're going to have to depend upon somebody that's larger than you, and it might not be mama and daddy. If mom and daddy become your God, he'll deal something with them too. But he wants all of us to trust Jesus for ourselves. I've always said it, every top got to stand on his own bottom. Amen? Every top got to stand on his own bottom. So let's look at this here. He goes on to say, I can't take too much more of this myself. Verse 16, he says, look what he says now. He says, I am a debtor, verse 14. I am a debtor, an oar, both to what? The Greeks and the barbarians, both to who? The wise and to the unwise. So as much as what is in me, I am what? Ready to do what? Preach the gospel to you that are also at Rome. He said, man, that's the burden. That's the burden of soul winning. He said, necessity has been laid up upon me. I just can't wait to get over there to Rome because I got to preach this gospel unto you. And this is the way it has to be about us. We got to be excited about the person that has come and changed our lives. Look what he says in verse 16, because this deals with the behavior. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the third thing I want to tell you. To gain more souls, you cannot be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we're going to gain souls, you can't be ashamed to tell them about who Jesus Christ is. You cannot be ashamed to do it. I remember when we were in Texas, and this, I'm going to show you, because other people are bold about their faith. Jehovah's Witness will come and knock on your door. They'll knock on your door. They bow. Pastor Allen, do you remember the time we were in Texas church? Boy, we were a wonderful church, and we're still connected to our pastors. We were there. We come out of the church one Sunday, and the Muslims was at the front door. They were at the front door. And they said, that man in there preaching about that white Jesus. Yeah. They were out there. Yeah, they were out there. They had stuff, man, and stuff. I'm sitting there. I mean, it was about 15 of them. I mean, I'm telling you, they out there, man, loud and proud. I ain't talking about standing outside the road. Nah, they were at the front. Soon you come out the front door and come down the steps, it was a crowd of them standing there. talking negative about the pastor, talking negative about the church, talking about he preaching about that white Jesus and all that. I'm telling you, I mean, these boys were in our face. And our pastor was so graceful about that. The next service that we had, he talked about the thing here, but he says, what we're going to do, we're going to love. That's what he said. We're not going to fuss with them. We're not going to fight with them. We're going to love. And all I know, I didn't see them anymore. You know what I'm saying? That was that one and last time. But what I'm saying unto you, they were not ashamed. You know, even though what they were talking is wrong and crazy, they're not ashamed of it. And this is the same thing that we cannot be ashamed. If we're going to gain the more, we cannot be ashamed of the gospel. Why, Pastor? Look, this is the verse goes to say. Verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You see what I'm saying? He said the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again. He said that's the power of God. Wait, I'm saying when you lay that out to someone, that's the power of God. It's the power of God unto what? Salvation. When you tell them about a God that while we were yet sinners, amen, he gave his only begotten son. Amen. He gave a son to gain some sons. Amen. He gave us a son to gain daughters and sons to gain you. He gave his only begotten. I like to say it this way. He bankrupted all of heaven for you. That's what he done. That's what he done. And I'm telling you, you don't, what we must understand, it's just like the scripture that says when they says, well, 6 months we'll go out there. He says, nah, lift up your eyes. The fields are already white unto harvest. It ain't about they got to get ready. They already ready. Look at the foolishness that's going on out there in them streets. Them folks, they're looking for something. They're looking for someone. I'm telling you, his name is Jesus. And we got to go impart a spiritual gift unto them that they what may be established. That they can have a firm foundation they can stand on. Right now, man killing man. I mean, woman killing. I mean, it's off the chain out there. I mean, you name it, black, white, in between, anything. I mean, it's off the chain. Everybody going down out there. Drugs, murder, you name it. It's going on right here in this city and in the greater Cincinnati area itself. And so we must be not ashamed of the gospel because it says again, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believeth. You hear that? He says to the Jew first and then also what? Unto the Greek. Amen. Amen. So turn with me. This is where we're going to close at. Back to the text that we were at. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Time. We just don't have enough time to go where I want to go. As you're turning there, I want to read this to you. It's in the Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 8 verse 38. He says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of the Father with the holy angels. What he's saying is, if you're going to be ashamed of me, of preaching my gospel, telling people about the good news, when I come in all my power and my glory and come with the holy angels, I'll be ashamed of you. Amen. He says, but if you don't be ashamed of me here in this old wicked and sinful and perverted generation and share the gospel, he says, I'm telling you, I won't be ashamed of you when I show back up here. I'm going to stand with you when I show back up. So we cannot be ashamed of this thing, even in a sinful, perverted. It's dark. It's dark almost everywhere you go. The church is about to be one of the last places that's really, truly light. Amen. Everywhere else you're going, it's dark, man. I'm telling you, it's perverted. It's perverted. That, and you got to keep your home. Got to keep your home as well. Okay, we see here, we're going to pick up, and this is where we're going to close. He says, verse 20, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20, this is the text. And so we see here, we understood that if we're going to gain souls, that we got to what? We got to be free, amen. We could be no longer up under the yoke of slavery. The second thing is that to gain more souls, we got to become a what? A servant to all. And then we went over to the book of Romans. We said if we're going to gain more souls, we cannot be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to end here. It goes on in verse 20. It says, and unto the Jews, I became as a what? A Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might what? Gain them. You see this gain progression? He says that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. And then he says, verse 22, to the weak became I. You see that? He says, became I. He says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might what? Gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means do what? Save some. Amen. See, to gain more souls, I must be willing to be all things unto all men. I'm not talking about you got to go out there and sin, smoke marijuana with someone and do all those types of things. No, I can get down on the level of where they're at. I can identify them and I can go with it. I don't have to cross the line and sin. I'm going to always stand for righteousness. Amen. I'm always going to be in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I can, but you know, we are not so heavenly minded that we're not any earthly good. What I'm saying is, just as people of Christ, all of us have had storms and in our lives. And what I'm saying is that there should never be anybody that you meet that you cannot identify with. You hear what I'm saying? Because first of all, sin is sin. So there should be nobody that's too hard for us that we cannot identify with. We can identify with them, and we got to find out where they're at so that we can get get on that level where they're at. We can't be so deep all the time with people. Amen. People just need to know that you care. Amen. And that's where it begins at. That's why he says, I owe nothing to no man but the continuing debt of love. And people want to be loved. And when you love them, it opens up the door for Jesus Christ to come into their life, because it's that same love, the love that comes from God. It's not our love. We get tired when people deny us. We say, I'm through with you. But not with the love that the Father had, because aren't you glad that the Father said, I'm not through with you? Aren't you glad about that? Amen. He never leave us and forsake us. I'm not talking about before you were saved. That's one time, but also after you have been saved. Amen. That he won't throw us to the, kick us to the curb. Say, I'm just through with you, Eric. I'm through with you. I'm so grateful and thankful. As we close today, close your Bibles, if you will. I'm reminded of a time in the Bible of the great banquet. And when Jesus Christ had got his dinner together, and he called everyone, and he went out and he called everyone that was supposed to be at the banquet. And the Bible says he sent his servant out. Isn't that so nice? The servant goes, they go out. You know what I'm saying? The servant knows that. He said he sent his servant out. And the servant went out and he went and told everyone. He told those that were already called to be at the feast. And of course, we know that was Jesus' people, because Jesus said, you know, when he sent his disciples out initially, he says, don't go to the lost sheep of Israel. That was the first assignment. Amen. Then, of course, he used Peter later. And then, of course, Paul and everyone else, Philip and everyone else, his disciples, to go out amongst the world, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and what? The uttermost parts of the earth. But we know what happened. He sent them out. And the guy said, he come back to Jesus and he told him, it was a parable. A parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And many times when we connect with people, we may not be able to give them a whole bunch of scripture, but we can talk to them where they at. You know what I'm saying? Because many times we've been there, done that. You know, a little bit of the slang, a little bit of the, you got to get down where they at. And so when you get down, so he went out and he went to tell all these people to come into the supper that God had put it together. He said, supper's ready, go out and get them. And you know what he said? One of them said, can I get a pass? He said, first of all, he said, I got some land. I ain't even looked at my land. I got to go look at my land. He said, tell the Lord, can I get a pass? The second one, he says, I just bought me some oxen. He says, I got to go prove them. That's what he says. I got to go prove my oxen. Now, you got to understand, his servant done come, and his servant is coming with zeal. His servant is coming with, you know, the same one that saved and delivered me. I'm coming with that same thing. And it got denied twice. Then somebody else said, well, I just got married. That's what he said. Yeah. But I got to go on my honeymoon. So I'll come to the dinner later. And what I'm saying is this. The dinner is prepared. And he is coming back. And he's using all of us, amen, that'll say, he said, you need to tell folk that dinner is ready and I'm about ready to come back. I'm telling you, people going to have all kinds of excuses. But let me tell you what he's going to say. But he told him, he said, now, I tell you what, though. He said, yeah, they got some excuses. And the Bible says when he told him that his people said that they got other things going on, the Bible said he became angry. And he looked at the servant. He said, I tell you what, go back out there. He said, now go to the hedges, the highways, the lanes of the city. He said, you go and compel them to come that my house may be full. And then he said, boy, he said, the day will come when those that denied me come back. He said, ain't going to be a good day for them. It's not going to be a good day. And so I want to leave you with today. See, we got to compel them to come in because I'm telling you, the dinner's already ready. He just waiting any day to break that sky. And when he break the sky, it's going to be too late then. Amen. First of all, we got to get our house in order. Amen. I got to get my own life in order first and let him catch me all over again. And then when he catch me, I'm ready to go catch somebody else for him. And they can deny him all they want. Look, if I can't get you in the suburbs, I'm going to the city. Oh, God. I can't get you in the city, I'm going over the Rhine. I'm going wherever. I can't get you there, I go up under the bridges. Wherever I need to go, I'm going to go and share the good news. Because I'm here to tell you, somebody want to sit at the table. There's somebody out there hungry for new life. There's somebody that's hungry for doing it the right way. There's somebody that's tired of being tired. I know when I came to him, then nobody had to preach anything to me. All I wanted to do was to what? Get saved. I wanted to get right with God, not right with some man. I wanted to get right with God. And I'm here to tell you, this is the hour. You can mark it down, write it on your calendar. This is the hour that we live in. It's time to win souls. It's time to go get them. I'm telling you, the highway, the hedges, the lanes of the city, and compel them to come in that his what? House may be full. And his house is going to be full of people that want to be there. Come on, look, yeah, I thank God for this church because the people that are here, you want to be here. We ain't want to pump, push, and pour. Nah, you want to have a church that you're a part of that people are standing in line to get into the house. I mean, people come into church because they want to be here, mother. They want to be here, and that's what we want. That's what we want in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet here and give God some praise. Let's give God some praise. Nice seeing you, Reuben. Amen. Let's give him some praise. He is worthy of all our praise and all our honor. Hallelujah. We give it to him. We give it to him. We give it to him. I want to ask today before we leave this place.